Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
He steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point.
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Hello and welcome to a draft night edition of the Warriors plus minus podcast. Tim Kawakami is with me. Chase Center. Warriors split two pick or one pick into two. 41st overall, they flip it to Phoenix, who Phoenix did a lot of maneuvering the last couple of days, for 52 and 59. We just got done talking to Mike Dunleavy.
They move up from 59 to 56.
Yes, they moved up from 59 to 56 because they really wanted Will Richard. But, I mean, the interesting part, I would say, of their evaluation of it was, you know, because of the NIL and some of the different rules, they clearly didn't like the middle of the second round compared to your normal middle of the second round. So they felt it was better value to go into the 50s, get two picks, two potentially rosterable guys if they have to, like, you know, duck a tax or an apron or whatever.
Yeah, like, you know, the second one, Richard's 22 years old. So, like, he's not a guy you want to, like, just put on hold for a couple of years necessarily. I try to kind of ask Dunleavy, like, if you were still at 41, would you have taken Tui? He didn't say we wanted both. We wanted both guys. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's possible they wanted just the ability to draft both guys. They didn't really have somebody at 41. But I think the positions match, right? Big wing, Tui. I don't know if he's a big time shooter, but he seems, and he's not a big time athlete, but he's a heady player. We know that works. He seems like a big Pajemski, maybe, you know, big wing who can play the four, play the three. I don't know if he's going to defend, but just be smart out there. Maybe like a Giddey, you think? Like a Josh Giddey kind of type? I'm not sure.
You're talking about Tui?
Yeah,
I mean, he doesn't – Giddey's like per natural gift, whatever, like is the passing, yeah, and the vision. He's not that. And Giddey's a playmaker. Giddey's very short-armed.
Okay.
And this guy apparently, you know, like, again, I am a very novice. I've not watched much at Tui, but from what I read and what I gather and some of the film I've seen, he's kind of a defensive playmaker. Mm-hmm. I think he averaged like 1.4 or 5 steals, like long-armed, you know, kind of gets out in transition. So, you know, I don't – that's about all I've got.
Big 6'8", big 6'8". Yeah, yeah. And Richard is 6'2". Senior, you know, kind of a playmaker for Florida, not a point guard, and definitely not a point guard. He thinks of him as a wing. So a small wing, you know, somebody's probably not likely to be in the rotation anytime real soon. But, you know, mature player. They like mature players. And
tough guard.
Tough guard, you know, two ways, not great at either side, but not terrible either side. So you can see it. And I could see both these guys making the roster. It's just like they might need to be saving dollars everywhere they can. They have nine guys on the roster basically right now if you count Santos. And I just talked to Dunleavy afterwards, and he said very likely that they're going to, you know, qualifying offer there, and Santos is somebody they're planning. Because I did think There might be some duplication with Tui and Santos. Maybe in my head it's like the big wing kind of thing. But
that's like the position in the NBA where like duplication's exactly. fine,
you
right?
You can play them on the floor. Yeah, you can play multiples on the floor. So they have nine. These two guys, if you add them both, that's 11. Then you have the free agents, you know, Kuminga, Looney, Payton. And then that's 14 if all are back. And we'll get into the one who may not be back. But I don't think GP2 is likely to be back. I might be wrong there. But they don't. Then you like that's not a terrible way to have the bottom of your roster of these two second round picks. I can see it. Maybe one of them's a two way. You can do it.
They'll figure it out later. But yeah, obviously it gives them an extra option to do that. I've been having several conversations with people about what type of contracts can fit in where the first apron, the second apron. You know, if they've had to duck and. Duck tax and this is a way to I mean they did it last year. Remember they spent most of last year. They had capped themselves at the first apron and they were so close to the first apron that they had drafted Quentin Post 52nd overall under the basically a handshake agreement that he was going to get a roster spot, but to save money they had to wait to
February. Yeah. I forgot it was all the way till February.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could be something like that. But yes, these are valuable guys to have if you hit on these picks. And recently, they have. Quentin Post, Trace Jackson Davis, Gui Santos, those are all, 50s. They're guys in the 50s. We'll see. The risk is, let's say you did go, hey, look, we got two cheap roster guys next year, and then they're both like unplayable, which is, how many of the second round picks in this year's draft will be unplayable next year in a real winning NBA setting? Most of them.
80%, yeah. 85%. Could smile a geech in there, which will stir the hearts of many. I love it. You reported this. Jessup, Justinian Jessup was part of this trade.
Yeah, the rights to Justinian Jessup were traded to Memphis in this trade and a very heavily protected future second.
You gotta like Justinian Jessup contributing to the 25-26 Warriors. You knew he would. You knew this guy had every. Wasn't he? Was he Australian too?
I don't believe he was, but he was in. I think he played in the Australian.
Okay, that's why it's in my mind. But I have understanding that they were trying to get into the, not super hard to get in the first round. I could sense that because I was at the Valkyries game last night, and Joe Lacob was not in his seats till the second half. He was in the room. They were working. I'm going to report who I think it is in the Standard tomorrow. It's a guess, but it's a not learned guess. Let's put it this way. But they were. I mean, Dunleavy said it to me just now on the podcast that Joe had an interest and they had an interest in somebody in the middle of the first round.
Yeah, I had heard that they were nudging, calling around, to see if they could potentially move in on it. But they leave this draft with these two guys. And then they're starting a free agency come Sunday.
There we go. Donovan Kuminga. Interesting. You talked to him in Cleveland. Those were interesting quotes. I don't think they're surprising quotes. He's a very confident player. He wants to be really good, and he wants to be really good as soon as possible. I just think none of this is a surprise. I do think it's a reminder that how awkward it would be if he's brought back. It's very possible that he is. Logical, mathematical, financially, it makes sense he's brought back in some way, and then they figure out what to do later, can trade him for much more in January. But it's going to be awkward, man. You were with him. I mean, how does it feel like he's even thinking about returning and feeling like that would be a good thing?
He is training extremely hard and training in a way that is about his own future. And, that is on his mind, right? It's like, yes, he went and met, you probably were at his exit interview where it's like he had the conversation with Steve Kerr about rebounding. And I mean, there's you talk to him plenty. He knows he needs to rebound better. He feels like he defended Anthony Edwards pretty well in that series. And I do think there's a belief from his side that he could be a good individual defender long term. Now, there's obviously we see plenty of defensive mistakes off ball and all that, but generally it's quite obvious and he's very steadfast in his own personal belief that he's on the road to something special, a special career that he believes hasn't been able to fully flourish here. And if he's correct, and I do not know if he is or not, but if he is correct, I would agree that it has been suppressed here to a degree. And I'm not even – I wouldn't criticize the you know, some of Steve Kerr's rotation decisions over the years. It has been about winning in this moment, winning a Houston Rockets series, winning in this way. But there are two separate things here. There's the Warriors' desires and the Warriors' day-to-day, tactics to try to win the game. And there's also an understandable, like, Jonathan Kuminga career that he is trying to have. And I don't think it was best for him to have gone seventh overall back in 2021. And I know the dynamics were different at the time. And I do think maybe, you know, a few years from now, some of the lessons he's learned and adversity he's gone through will...
I'm not sure that G League stint really helped him either that much, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, he obviously looks around at other guys in his draft class. Jalen Green is a good example, who got a three-year deal, you know, at 30-ish, and he just got traded. And, you know, he got – think about how many opportunities and the usage rate and all this and the minutes and everything early in his career. And again, it was in a losing environment. And I think people could are of the belief that if he goes and he does get what he wants, which is, you know, 22 shots a game, high usage, more high screens, like a really inability to try to be the engine of an offense, that it might be in a losing team. But I think – he wants to go find out if that is true or if he can become what he, you know, a multiple time all-star, because he, you know, he thinks he can, and people can have opinions yes or no either way. But like he, as he, you know, ages into this early prime, we can call it for him. He wants the chance to figure that out. And I think he's looking at the landscape and the Warriors are looking at the landscape, and that is not in front of him here.
Nope.
He knows Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry are going to be on the team next year. He understands the pecking order. He knows who the head coach is going to be. And so does everybody else. So you mentioned it. Some of the market dynamics at play may lead him back here, but is that something he necessarily wants? Is that something that the Warriors want? Like, not necessarily.
Yes, it would be awkward. Let's just put it that way. It would be awkward and many other complications down the road. Again, someone's going to have to want him so much that offer him a contract that he will sign, and to trade the Warriors something if it's a sign and trade. And that complicates things, obviously. But I think that can be worked out. That's probably being worked out right now. I mean, they're very careful to say they can't do it until June 30th, because that's when he becomes a free agent, and that's when you can talk to other teams. But what position is he going to play on this team, right? Like, even if you give every kind of, like, you know, you make every maneuvering to try to get him 30 minutes, you try to do it, what's his position? It's small forward, and that's Jimmy Butler's position. And if it's power forward, that's Draymond's position, or it's Jimmy's position when Draymond plays center. Like, they're just, it's hard to say where those, sometimes you could see it, and it has happened, but it has not happened much with Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry both on the court. And Steve Kerr is not going to change everything for him. He's just not going to say, you know what, we're just going to throw everything in the wind and they're not going to do that. Shouldn't do that.
Yeah, the one thing Steve has said is that if he comes back, that they would give, you know, you would believe it would be an opening month runway of the lineup. And it's small ball lineup, which, you know, they're speaking out of both sides of their mouth a little bit, where Steve is saying, I don't want Draymond Green to be the starting center. He doesn't want to be the starting center. But also, hey, if Jonathan Kuminga's back, they'll do the lineup that's Kuminga, Butler, Draymond, Steph, and probably Podziemski right as the small ball lineup, because you almost can't have a center. I guess maybe you could try Post as like the stretch five. But I guess the point is they would give that a runway if Kuminga is back. And we'll see. I mean, that lineup got very little chance late in the season. I think they played 13 minutes in the last, you know, stretch of regular season.
It isn't speaking two ways. If you say, I don't want Draymond to play center, and I might do this with Kuminga, but he doesn't want to. That's the way, he doesn't want to. I'm not sure that the veterans want it either. I think everyone acknowledges how talented Kuminga is. Everyone acknowledges that he did put the ball in the basket when they needed him to in the Minnesota series. It just isn't the way to win playoff series when you have Steph and Jimmy Butler, in my opinion. I think in the opinion at least of Steve Kerr and maybe some others. We'll see. Again, if there's not a great offer out there, he might be coming back, and it might be on a 2-year deal, right? It might be a one. I don't know if they do a 1+1. I don't know what kind of deal would you look at him coming back to the Warriors on?
I think if it's too low, we could be talking qualifying offer and like a real awkward type of situation. Yeah. If they're willing to go higher than maybe you know, the rest of the market to almost like, you know, have a little bit of a goodwill situation, basically like, hey, you know, they're overpaying in a sense compared to what the market says. Then maybe 2+1 at a decent value.
24, which, something like that?
Potentially, but, it, you know, I don't think that's something that is going to be handshake and accepted in the next couple of days. If that's the type of, you know, money we're talking, I think this could drag out. Yep. And dragging out, by the way, is not good for the Warriors roster building because he has a, you know, a pretty chunk of a cap hold that's going to...
No, I mean, but I just asked Dunleavy. I mean, you might be right, but I think if the qualifying offer is 7.9...
Yeah, but that's not the cap hold. It's like 21.
Oh, really? I was asking him about that.
Yeah, the qualifying and the cap hold is different.
Okay, so 21 is a pretty significant cap hold. But I think he was mostly saying, we just want to get it done before that. It was not going to be something in their minds and hopefully in Kuminga's minds, he's saying that will lead to that. We're going to make it. There's something going to be decided, at least on the contract maybe. I don't know.
Well, I think some numbers might be bantered back and forth prior to Sunday. But if it's there's two parties in this scenario and, like, you know, I can feel the urgency from the Warriors to get something done because, like, you know, they got to solve some stuff. But I don't think that if the money's not where – Kuminga and Kuminga's side wants it to be, I don't think it necessarily, they believe it has to be a quick process.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not up to them to have to wait for the Warriors. 21, what would 21 take him to the second apron? No, it would take him to the first, into the first apron.
I just think that cap hold really kind of constricts, like, yeah. So, and not only,
I would say they still would have the taxpayer mid-level, right? They still would have that. Like, yeah. You could do the stuff they pretty much are going to do anyway, right? You just wouldn't have that contract to trade.
Well, limits, obviously, what you can ultimately give Kuminga. And I think taxpayer mid-level, if you use that, this is where it gets very convoluted. I'm like, does that first apron cap you or second apron? Yeah, I need to look some of this stuff up.
Well, they're not in the first apron now. Let's just know that. And if Kuminga goes for nothing, they're out of the tax. So, like, again, I don't think they expect that to happen because they would also have to let a bunch of other guys go. Looney and all GP2, but I think the determination on the Warriors side, again, Kuminga does not have to follow that. Other teams don't have to follow that, is to have this decided. And it might be, like, if they need this decided, it might mean they trade him for not as much as you think they're going to get. But
this is where restricted free agency is very tough for them. It's like they can decide, oh, they're frustrated, oh, he's not taking this amount of money. He's got to sign a contract for, he could go, no, I'm a restricted free agent. I am going to take meetings until July 12th. And you could say, no, you don't want, okay, then renounce and I'll be unrestricted and buy.
Yep, you're right.
You know what I mean? Like, there is a lot of ways a restricted free agent can put the thumb down a little bit.
No question. And this all could happen. And believe me, as you know, if this happens, he's not going to be a Warrior this season. Like, they're not going to say, he'll come back into a hearty embrace, Jonathan.
But guess what? That's not a threat to him, necessarily. You're right. You know what I mean? No, it's not like,
It just, if it goes down that road, it's not like this is going to be some happy reunion. If he does the nuclear option, or it's not even nuclear option, it's just his right. He's not coming back.
He has played 4 years for the Warriors. Like, this is just like just business 101. He's earned the right use whatever type of leverage.
They could have signed him to the extension last summer, right? I mean, they could have theoretically happened. So and maybe they should have, right? You know, if you have
that's what they did with Jordan Poole, and then they traded him like at this moment of his
career. Jalen Green. Like, you could have signed him to 3 years. You know, at $28 million average, whatever the Jalen is, right? That Jalen Green contract. Jalen Green was 2 years, right?
It was three, but it was a player option on the back end. Two plus one.
They could have done that.
And also, I will say about, like, negotiations didn't get close. Yeah. It wasn't. It's not,
and
like
they might not have taken that number, by the way.
So. It didn't get close last year. There felt like a feeling on both sides that it wasn't even like, you know, they weren't going to be in the ballpark with each other. Like, it's not like they got very far down the line talking money. I would
and
say
yeah,
that.
The unknown of what was going to happen last season. Yeah. Like, he could have broken out. There was really a possibility, and then he would be a $40 million player, and he wasn't going to accept 24 or whatever the theoretical numbers were. I'm just saying, where I've been the whole time is I think it would be too complicated, too difficult emotionally to have him back in that locker room on a short-term deal. I really do. And it could get even worse as these negotiations go. You might have to sell, you know, on 50 cents on the dollar for the player. Like, we've talked Kobe White. That might be the top end at this point. We've talked, you know, I don't know how you could get Bruce Brown in this, and I know Warriors fans would be very disappointed if it's a sign-and-trade, double sign-and-trade to get Bruce Brown here. that might be, rather than have a disgruntled Jonathan Kuminga or Kuminga kind of freezing you. Now, again, $21 million cap hold is not great. I don't think it freezes them. It does them no good, though. It does them no good to have that sitting there. You might rather have Bruce Brown. You might rather have Bobby Portis Jr. I don't know that they can get him. It's going to be tricky, and I think you just want to have this over with.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm looking up what his cap hold is right now exactly because, you know.
That's important to know.
Yeah, it's $22.9 million.
Right. Oh, because it's a percentage of his salary?
Is that this what is a standard cap hold for a restricted free agent whose previous contract has expired. You know, it's... Anyway, it's $22.9. So, you know, like there's... This is where... Like, restricted free agency is very restrictive for the player for obvious reasons. Hey, you go sign a max somewhere and the Warriors could just decide to match. But also, it's not completely devoid of, like, leverage plays for the player. And, I mean, think about, remember DeAndre Ayton a couple years ago when he was really trying to get out of Phoenix?
Yep.
That dragged out, I think, into August, maybe? Maybe I'm wrong, but it definitely was like late
in free agency. Came back, right?
Well, remember he signed with the Pacers.
Okay,
which is funny now because like that would have been a bad situation. Like, but anyway,
perfect guy to play with Tyrese Haliburton.
But Ayton did a lot of like leverage type stuff then, and like you know, Kuminga has that.
Yep.
Available.
I think if everyone is thinking with their heads on straight, because I don't know that he wins with that, and obviously the Warriors do not win with that. You do figure it out. Got to do it, though. I mean, Miami, you've mentioned. Chicago's been mentioned. There might be other teams involved in there. I don't know what the match is with Miami, though. What's the – they'd want Hawkes. They'd want Khalil Ware. Are they going to trade either one of them?
They're not trading Khalil Ware. Yeah. Hawkes is more, like, questionable because he had a bad second season. Duncan Robinson has, like, a flexible contract. And also, like, picks, like, right? You know, you can start talking about, like, draft pick compensation and stuff like that.
I'd take Hawkes in a second if I'm the Warriors. In a second. Absolutely would. Chicago, obviously, we've said Kobe White a million times. I'd take Kobe White in a second. What's that number? How's that going to work? We'll have to see. But those are the guys making the kind of right. You know, if we're talking JK getting $24 million, which seems right to me, starting at 24, you'd have to be able to get 12 back, 13 back, and those guys are making in that vicinity or even lower. I think Hawkes is lower than that on a rookie contract. So if that's out there, I'm the Warriors, I'd do it. You can't ask for – I don't think you're getting more than that.
Yeah, and that's something that would have to be figured out in, like, early July. There's potential free agent meetings, all that. So, yeah. Anything else, you know, off-season wise or draft wise?
I'm just curious. I mean, I don't know if he's really been asked. I mean, Looney and GP2, I just think those go at the back end of the line, as Looney always is. I don't know that they can spend dollars for GP2, which does raise the question, who's defending the toughest guys? Because it was GP2.
Will Richard.
Yeah, I was like saying, I'm not sure who's going to do that. Butler's not going to do it all the time. Moody can do some of them, not all of them. Pajemski says he can do it. I don't know about that. I mean, it was Wiggins, Kuminga at times, GP2 for sure. You know, like, I can be very skeptical of him being worth whatever million because he's always hurt, but you will lose something if you lose GP2. He's not getting younger. And Looney, you know, I imagine that might get pretty low. That might be a pretty low number given the minutes that you can project for him. But it's hard for me to imagine that locker room without him. I'm just curious about that, but they go to the end of the line on this one. But those are two guys I'm curious. Curious about Santos. Does Pat Spencer have a role on this team? I don't know.
Kevin Knox was a guy on a minimum potential.
Like, if these guys are both rostered, that's what they're going to start knocking out some of those guys. Like, I don't know that Pat Spencer has a role on this team if these guys make the roster. If they don't,
and, you know, you could shift. Like, Spencer's two-way eligible. Yeah. One of these guys could be two-way. I mean, there's a lot of, and by the way, there's a ton of time for them to figure out. That is very much like back end. You mentioned it, but like, that's back end of the summer.
No question. I'm just curious. I'm just saying, I'm just curious about it. These are things that are going to be locking in place with how many guys they add, you know, how many different deals they have to do, whatever they do with Kuminga. But I'm just curious because those, you look at the, I'm looking at the roster now, just looking at how, you know, what the 14 guys, 15 guys are going to be. It's starting to fill up a little bit when they add 2 second-round draft picks, just in some ways, whether they're on the roster or two ways. But there's not a lot they can do. Like I said, Kuminga is what they can do. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, there's not a lot.
Yeah, and again, you know, if they're not bringing him back, or they're doing what you're talking about, like, oh, he signs 24 on a sign and trade, you bring a guy back, bring in 12, you know, they have the mid-level available to them. And, you know, I don't know what it's, I'm curious what type of free agent they could go out and get. I think a veteran stretch five type player would, like, be very appealing to, you know, but could that get you to an Al Horford? Could that get you to a Brook Lopez? Those are two guys that I think could really not only help strategically, right? Like a more sturdy playoff stretch five. You have Quentin Post, who's like, you know, a nice young player, but he's not an Al Horford or Brook Lopez, obviously. But also, like, you know how much, like, the locker room, the veterans would love
Horford.
You know, yeah.
I don't think he's leaving. I don't think Boston's letting Horford go. But
I probably agree. But, you know, they're rebuilding, you know.
I'd say Derek White maybe over him,
Derek White's at 30 million
over him. But I'm saying they might, that might be the contract. Or Hauser.
Al Horford's a free agent.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're going to try to re-sign him, and he would want to, like,
okay, Brook Lopez. I mean, we'll see what Milwaukee does. And look, that those guys might be just too good and too out of the price range we're talking. But
I don't know if Brook Lopez, he's had a bad year, man. He had a bad year.
Yeah, so, but we're talking about a 7-footer who has a history of protecting the rim and hitting threes, stretching the floor.
I floated his name to a Warriors person not too long ago, and that person said, man, he had a bad year. So. Yeah. But that doesn't
mean how you get them on a cheaper deal, right?
Exactly.
You know, if you had a good year, you'd be making 20.
I still think they could use a wing. They could use a wing. Yeah. They really could use a second, you know, second unit wing who can move the ball around and hit a shot. And I'm not 100% sure who that is. I've mentioned Bruce Brown. Maybe it's not him anymore either. But somebody like that who can play creatively. So it's not just Jimmy Butler dribbling the ball and saying, everyone spread out, I'm going to go do something. Like, you kind of need someone else who can do that. And I think those guys are available. I don't know if they can get them. And I've thrown this name out. I mean, maybe even for the veteran minimum, as you said, De'Anthony Melton. Like, that's a – we know he can fit. Can he stay healthy? I don't know. But you get him at a discount because he's been hurt. But, he's talented, and he does fit this thing. And they could use one
of the six best games in Warriors history.
Yeah, so remind them, those six games, those six great games. And my other favorite, I listed him as my 20th person on my possible target list. You get him for the minimum, Chris Boucher. Right? What the guy would be? People, fans would love him. Would love him for the minimum. Is he? He's your 12th man. You could do worse than that. You just frowned at me.
I've got a comment, but I'm gonna leave it for after the show.
Wow.
All right, we're gonna get out of here, and we will talk to you probably at some point, like early free agency or something.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history. a 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.